About 550 miles southwest from Helsinki lies Copenhagen, the capital of Denmark. It's a prosperous, urbane city of just over 500,000, a city of high prices, high taxes, and extraordinary attention to the environment. Copenhagen earned the official European Seal of Approval in 2014 as the EU officially anointed it as the EU's greenest city. Living on Earth's Helen Palmer went there and found it, well, green.
The windy port of Copenhagen is truly the greenest of green cities. Beyond the busy harbour and the statue of the Little Mermaid, massive windmills in the ocean and on the industrial island of Christianshavn spin in the brisk wind. A brand new bike path loops and sweeps at third floor level between banks and businesses to link the inner harbour through a series of parks and gardens on the rooftops to the railway station. After all, it's a city where just about everybody rides bicycles. Daughter Roma, a consultant to the city's Department of Planning and Climate Adaptation, has a pretty good idea why the city keeps winning green awards.
I think it's a matter of many different aspects. It's due to our focus on renewable energy. It's a focus on sustainable traffic. You know that the city of Copenhagen are doing many things for the bicycles in the city. And then we also have a tremendous focus on greening the city. Part of that is to install more green roads and have focus on wherever there is space to green the area, transform the grey to the green.
Urban planners tout the benefits of installing plants on rooftops as insulation and as an antidote to urban heat islands, not a problem you'd expect for a place that's on roughly the same latitude as Moscow and Goose Bay. But green roofs have been mandatory on suitable new buildings in Copenhagen since 2010, and Daughter Roma says you could be wrong about what the city needs to plan for.
In the future, due to the climate change, we will expect there will come higher temperatures in our city. But that's only one aspect of the initiatives about green roofs in the city, because another very important aspect is that we know and we are aware of that we will have more intensive rains and more rain in general. And due to that, we know that green roofs and green area can absorb, infiltrate, evaporate and delay the rainwater.
Now, we're standing here actually on one of your green roofs. Describe where we are and what exactly we're seeing around us.
Yeah, we are pretty close to the inner harbour. And we are in the middle of a green botanical corridor. We are on the new Danish National Archive. And the unique about this is that it's one amongst other green roofs that's connected and accessible for the public to walk from one area in the city to another area in the city. And you can, in fact, also take your bicycle and cycle from one area to another area.
So it's basically like a system of parks, as it were, on top of roofs.
Exactly. And this green roof, which is one of my favorite here in Copenhagen, it's an option for you to sit on benches surrounded with strawberry beds, which is designed to create silent gardens alongside the whole project.
The rooftop of the National Archives is about the size of a football field, but it looks for all the world like a meadow. There's vetch and thyme and thrift and nodding grasses interspersed with those strawberry beds and benches bordered by trellises clad in purple clematis and traveller's joy. The studied artlessness of the garden is due to complicated planning and very careful construction, says Per Malmos, whose company installed the roof.
First of all, you have to make sure that you don't make leaks. You don't disturb the membrane when you install it. You have to be sure that the waterproofing are protecting against the roots growing inside
so
the membrane.
It's got to be totally impervious to water, but also tough enough so the roots don't make holes through it.
Yes.
Malmos had brought along samples of the materials layered underneath the plants on the roof to protect the building below from leaks and collect the rainwater so the garden needs no irrigation.
Then you take care of the membrane, and on top of it you place a drainage layer so you can be sure when it will rain very heavily, the water can still running away. Because if not, it will flood and be muddy and you couldn't walk on it.
Right. So what you've got here is a layer of something that looks like felt. And on top of this is, it looks for all the world like what we make egg cartons out of.
Yeah, it's a sandwich layer underneath.
Right.
And then you have a layer of substrate, and it's not a normal topsoil. It's a topsoil which is light. It sucks the water, so it's full of water.
It's a system that's been developed over years to work really well, and now the meadow and flower beds are thriving. Daughter Roma says they provide other benefits.
It creates the opportunity to create habitats to support biodiversity.
So biodiversity, you mean like rabbits in the middle of Copenhagen?
Not exactly, but butterflies and bees and birds and invertebrates like that, but also diversity of plants.
It's peaceful walking on the roof. In one corner, there's a group of office workers having a barbecue. Further along, the ramps that lead down to street level are a magnet for local skateboarders. Copenhagen intends to have half its citizens getting to work or school or running errands by bicycle by 2015, and to generate all its power from renewable sources by 2040. Daughter reckons the city is on track to meet those goals. Already 40% of its energy is green. It's too soon to know what impact the green roofs have on the carbon balance, but she's sure they affect the citizens' balance and their well-being.
We like to have the view of some beautiful areas, but in fact you can also create these beautiful areas. And I in fact also have heard from people, they are surprised of being in a silent area, even though that you are in the middle of a city.
And there are these oases of green, not only on houses, hotels and city buildings, but also on parking garages and even on bicycle and storage sheds. Right at the harbour, the roof of a development of shops and cafes is covered with flowerbeds, benches and walkways. But no gutters, because a 3-foot-wide bed of stonecrop and sedum along the edge takes up all the rain. I met Hilla Lervig there with her bicycle, taking pictures.
Oh, I think it's nice. It's absolutely nice. I'm working just under this roof, so I enjoy it here, and I enjoy the water, of course, and it's important to have flowers around us. I think I'm one of the luckiest here in Copenhagen to work at a place like this.
Walk further along the harbour and you come across the statue that commemorates Hans Christian Andersen's story, The Little Mermaid. Cruise ships stop here, and tourists like to stroll, people like Bridget Whiting from London.
Yes, just brilliant, all the bees. And of course we have this problem with the bees, and I'm just so delighted to see them. Isn't it fantastic?
Well, actually that's part of their thinking, that it provides habitat for insects.
Yes.
And everything.
And you can see it's working.
Yeah.
I just love all this, I really do.
Still, the green roof didn't much impress Tammy Chen. She's originally from Hong Kong, but now lives in Seattle.
I think it's not a new idea. Definitely, you know, Tokyo, Japan, like, you know, they've been doing it for years, and a lot of Asian cities, you know, they started doing the same thing, and I'm glad that Copenhagen, you know, finally started doing it as well, you know.
But do you think it has an effect on how people feel?
Well, definitely green is a good color, you know, like it brings positive messages, and it's great contrast with the industrial area, you know, just right across the canal, obviously. So I think it's a really nice change.
And in the end, maybe that's the message. A green city with green roofs can blunt some effects of global warming by soaking up excess rain and sucking up excess carbon, and certainly by cheering up the people who live there and visit. For Living on Earth, I'm Helen Palmer in Copenhagen, Denmark.